The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com. Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and leaky black. Matt Norlanda is here with me. If you're watching on YouTube, please smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent, and while you're smashing, please let me remind you what we got going on over a 10-week span. It's called the Summer Shoot Around. It's a series during which we're going to focus on 20 notable teams over a span of 10 weeks. Two per week, 20 teams in 10 weeks, and we're doing the schools in alphabetical order. So we've already knocked out Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Auburn, Baylor, and Creighton. Now we turn our attention to the Duke Blue Devils. They went 32-7 last season, won the outright ACC title, got a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament, and then you probably remember lost to North Carolina in the Final Four, at which point Mike Krzyzewski's Hall of Fame career was done. From that team, Duke lost Paolo Banchero, Mark Williams, Trevor Keels, Wendell Moore, A.J. Griffin, Joey Baker, Theo Johns, 7 of the top 8 scores. That's a lot, but the Blue Devils are bringing back Jeremy Roach and enrolling the top-ranked recruiting class in the nation, one that includes 4 5-star prospects, among them 3 of the top 4 prospects in the class of 2022, according to 24/7 Sports. I've got Duke ranked 5th in the preseason CBS Sports Top 25 and 1. We'll see what Deadleg thinks of John Shire's Blue Devils next, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right, Deadleg, I got Duke ranked 5th in the top 25 and 1. How you feeling about John Shire's first year as the head coach at his alma mater?
We're going to do a little game here in a minute that's going to take a trope from our buds over at the Cover 3 podcast. They've been doing plenty of look-aheads and previews, team previews, conference previews for the college football season, and they've got win total special. So we will do win totals on this one with Duke in the regular season. But before we get there, I was interested to see, you know, what Duke was before Kay got there. You know, this is a massive changing of the guard. I think it might even take a bit for Duke and for the press and for fans to get used to the fact that when the Blue Devils are on television, Mike Krzyzewski won't be on the sidelines. In fact, he said a couple of times he'll be at Duke games next season. I'm confident of that. But he has said, like, you know, he's not going to be at every one, and there'll be plenty that he won't be at, and he probably is going to want to intentionally avoid some of the spotlight there. But it's going to be weird. Okay, on the sidelines for Duke, and Shire's going to be in command and making the calls and running the whiteboard and every timeout and all that good stuff. And as someone who got to sit literally right behind Duke's bench for its Elite Eight win to get to the Final Four, and I saw actually Shire commanded one huddle and Kay did most of it. On a personal professional note, it was awesome to get to see Kay basically tear into his guys. Like, you would have never thought like he was like a game away from having his career done. He was a fiery presence there. Duke before Kay took over, this was a little surprising to me. If you're a Duke diehard, you're aware of this, but I wasn't, this wasn't at front of mind. I knew it made that run in the late 70s. It was good, but the season before Coach Kay took over, Duke was a 24-9 team under Bill Foster and made the Elite Eight. We could set the over-under. Will Duke win as many as 24 games in Shire's first year, and will it go as far as the Elite Eight, which is, of course, it went one game beyond that last season. I don't know. Three seasons leading up to Kay getting the job, though, GP, 73-24, made the NCAAs each year. Duke was number one in the AP poll two of the 3 years before Kay got there, and in the other season, it got as high as number seven. I only bring that up to say, as a reminder, that Duke was a proud program before Krzyzewski got there. It's just that Mike Krzyzewski elevated it to a national presence and arguably the best program in the entire sport. That's what Shire is inheriting. You've got Duke highly ranked. If you want to have some skepticism, you deserve it. Shire's never coached a game. Now, we did ask a question a year ago in our Candid Coaches series to 100 coaches or so, who's going to be in a better spot 5 years from now? Duke under Shire or UNC under Davis? And at that point, I want to say it was like a 70-30 almost split there. I think that number would be lesser if we asked it today. But Shire hasn't coached a game, and he has more turnover from a roster standpoint than any other power conference coach comfortably. Kansas is kind of close according to Torvik's data, but it's Duke by far has the most roster turnover. There's some good guys there, GP, but We'll see how Shire adapts from having been the lead recruiter on all these players that are going to be playing this season. He was a big factor in Duke coming off of, you mentioned the names. Duke just sent five guys to the NBA draft. We mentioned this on draft night. That was a program record. Duke has with regularity sent two, three guys into the NBA draft into the first round, but it had never had five NBA picks and five first round level kind of picks. That's a lot to lose. I swear I'm not going to make this a continually running thing. And at some point, I got to put my name to it and rank these teams. I do think you have Duke too high. With that in mind, let's go win total. Just regular season, 31 games, not counting the ACC tournament, GP, not counting the NCAA tournament. Win total for the regular season. Knock on wood, we don't have, hopefully this will be the first time since, I guess technically, GP, 2018-19, that the regular season will be literally unaffected and untouched by COVID-19, because even 2020 lost some regular season games technically with that, I believe. If they can play a 31-game regular season schedule, how many does Duke get in its first season under John Shire? And I have the non-conference. If you want that as aid, I have the non-conference ready for you and the listeners. But 31 games, how many are they getting to? W's.
Well, they had 26 wins in the regular season. Last season, they went 26-5. I would take the under on that. I would go under 26 simply because there's so many new pieces. You know, I think North Carolina's going to be the pick to win the ACC, so they're not going to be a projected conference champion. They were conference champions last season. Let's go 23-8
going into the ACC tournament. Here's the non-con schedule before I give you my answer. They open with Jacksonville, then USC Upstate. Then they got the Champions Classic against a Kansas team that is that sets up as a potential top 10 matchup, of course. Then home again, Delaware and Bellarmine. Yes, this is looking like a bit of a Coach K schedule, but then it does get challenging. PK 85 over on the other coast. They'll start with Oregon State, then they'll play either Xavier or Florida, which means that will be a matchup between new coaches and new spots. You know, Sean Miller and Todd Golden going against John Shire, depending on how that shakes out. And then Duke could play Gonzaga in a PK 85 title game. If not, if either, you know, if losses happen along the way, Purdue or West Virginia would be the teams that kind of line up for Duke there. Portland State is a long shot, but those are PK 85. They'll come home, play Ohio State in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. That's a home game for Duke this season. They'll get Iowa at Madison Square Garden, Cameron Indoor North in the Jimmy V, and then their final non-con game is on December 10 against Maryland Eastern Shore. That's 11 non-con games, 20 ACC games for 31 total. I will go 22-9. I almost went 23-8, but considering you've got Kansas, Ohio State's going to be good. It might be tough for OSU to get a win in Cameron. I get that. But then, like, PK 85, it's not inconceivable they take on a couple losses. And then consider the ACC regular season slate. You know, they got to go on the road and play UNC, Miami, Virginia Tech, and Virginia. Those are four teams that I think would comfortably, objectively register as NCAA tournament contenders, GP. Syracuse on the road is also in there. We'll see about that. And then there's, you know, they got to play, obviously, Carolina twice. And there's, I don't know. I think there's a lot, considering how much turnover there is, Shire's first season, I don't know. I could be selling a little bit low here, and that's why I think you've got them a little high. 23-8, I think, is probably the sweet spot there. I'd be surprised, personally, given the schedule and the ACC, which I think should be pretty good. Anything that's 25 wins or better going into the ACC tournament would surprise me, but we're right there. So I guess unofficially for listeners at home, if you want to play our game, we've got them at 22.5 regular season wins over under, GP at 23 and me at 22.
After hearing you go through the non-league schedule, I might tick it up a game or so.
Ooh, okay.
Like that non-league schedule doesn't scare me. You know, I think they're at least on paper better than Kansas. Now, you know, Bill Self is arguably the greatest active coach in college basketball. And so given that John is entering his first year, you'd have to reasonably put a check mark in the Kansas column there. But I think John's going to have better players. And so I would pick Duke over Kansas on a neutral court. Obviously, I'm picking Duke over Iowa in the Garden. I'm taking Duke over Ohio State in Cameron. I'm taking Duke in all those bye games. And PK 80, let's say they go 2-1. Like, I think that's
total. You got them at 10-1 going into ACC play. I feel like they're going to be.
Yeah, how about that? I don't think they'll go 10-1, but I bet you they'll be something like favored in 10 games. I bet the only game they're an underdog that you ran through is a possible Gonzaga game.
I could see maybe Kansas, but they'll probably be favored in Kansas. It'll be close, but yeah, I think technically you're probably right. They got a lot of talent. We just got to see how Shire does leading it. I mean, he was the lead recruiter in everyone that's going to be playing for him this season, obviously. And you know, I'll let you run down the names and the guys there. But the guy that I'm most excited to see is Derek Lively, who I figure is going to start at the four. He's tall enough to be a five, but he's a stretch guy. Like he's got potential to turn himself into a top five pick next year. So there is a lot there. But how are those pieces going to mesh? And then will Jeremy Roach, who's obviously going to return and be the starting point guard, how much is he going to jump? He had a strong finish at the end of last season, Parrish. For me, I only sell a little bit based on the unknowns that are there. Yet, obviously, Duke is Duke, and they're going to be good. The question is, how good will they be immediately? The rosters aren't comparable, but obviously UNC had some of its struggles early on before it really found its momentum on the back end of the regular season into the tournament. Not saying Duke's going to duplicate that, but Hubert Davis was a longtime member of that staff, and we saw what happened just a couple miles up the road on Tobacco Road.
By the way, before we go through this roster, evidence that the retirement tour for Coach K was effective is in this roster. You know, they got to announce to the world, you know, this is going to be John Shire's program. So if you come to Duke, you're playing for him. And that freed John up to go out and recruit his first team. And I would argue, I can't imagine it's not true. No first year coach has ever, an assistant being promoted to head coach has never taken over a roster this talented or, you know, secured a recruiting class quite like this. I mean, he's not only got the number one class in America, it's got three of the top four prospects in the country. So Kay got to go out rather than with a canceled game and a COVID ACC tournament, you know, with a trip to the Final Four. And John got to recruit like crazy to set himself up for success. And he undeniably has. Not only did he enroll the number one class in 2022, right now he's got the number one class in 2023 as well. To me, the front court's the most interesting place. You think Lively could play the four? I guess I imagine, like, and it could be interchangeable, but they've got two bigs,
yes,
that are going to play together, and that's Cal Filipowski and Derek Lively. They're both five-star bigs in the class of 2022. Derek Lively, number one, Filipowski, number four, and you know. This is not the way most people play basketball now with two, you know, bigs, but Filipowski, you know, he can bounce it. He can pass it.
He can.
He can shoot it. Like, he looks like a perfect pick and pop option. Just to remind myself what he looked like, I went back this morning and like watched a lot of YouTube stuff on him. And I mean, he's very comfortable playmaking and picking and popping and, you know, the shot is effortless. I don't think they're going to get in each other's way too much. Like the concern with playing two bigs, you know, in a traditional way is they clog the paint, no driving lanes. They're in each other's way. I don't think these guys are going to get in each other's way too much. You know, Kyle, he has a twin brother who is also 7 foot that he's played with like his entire life. So he's used to playing with another big guy. And as you know, Derek Lively played with Jalen Duren on the EYBL circuit. So what's interesting, they have both played with similar sized players on the court with them recently and for much of their lives. So that won't be too weird for them. You know, whatever you call them, you know, Filipowski's the four, Lively's the five, switch it up.
They can do either one.
Whatever they do, they're going to be in the front court together. And I think it's going to be really effective. Filipowski doing all the things I've explained, and then Lively being an incredible rim protector on the defensive end of the court. Like, we joked last summer about Jalen Duren. Like, was he really as tall as he was listed? Derek Lively is. Derek Lively is every bit a 7'1", and he looks it. If you go back and listen to that podcast from Peach Jam in the summer of 2021, you know, when I was making the case, I didn't think Jalen Duren really should be the number one player in his class. Some of that was, are we even sure he's the best player on his grassroots team? I didn't think so. I thought Lively might be better. And Jalen Duren was obviously awesome in his one season at Memphis. So I think Lively is going to be awesome in his one season at Duke. Another five-star freshman, I assume, will be in the starting lineup. Dariq Whitehead, 6'6" wing. He's ranked second in the class of 2022. Great athlete, can score at the rim, can score at the three-point line. He's a three-level guy. You know, you never know how somebody is going to be on the defensive end of the court as a freshman. But like, he's got the, you know, physically, he's got the stuff to be an effective, an effective and impactful player on that end of the court. And, you know, like you look at that at the 3-4-5, they're going to have five-star freshmen who are 6'6", 6'11", 7'1". It'll be really big. And then in the backcourt, it's probably Jeremy Roach. It's definitely Jeremy Roach and Jacob Grandison, the 6'6" super senior transfer from Illinois, who averaged 9.6 points while shooting 41% from three at Illinois last season in 25 minutes per game. So you've got the experienced point guard, third year point guard in Jeremy Roach. You've got an established, proven, you know, power conference, you know, NCAA tournament team shooter. who's a senior, and then you complement that with, you know, 3 5-star freshmen. And then they got another transfer from Northwestern, Ryan Young, who, you know, averaged 9 points, 4.2 rebounds last season, but only played 17.1 minutes per game. His playing time decreased each year for 3 straight years at Northwestern. Like, he started 31 games as a redshirt freshman, then only started 4 as a sophomore, only 1 as a junior. So for whatever reason, that's trending the wrong direction. But he's another veteran piece that can help balance the roster a little bit. He'll be there if they need him.
Duke should be plenty entertaining. The talent's undeniable. I really love Whitehead. Was one of my, you know, 3 or 4 favorite players I saw on the circuit last year. Obviously, his last season playing on the grassroots circuit. And Lively, Lively feels like, and now we'll see how he's deployed. I actually like Lively's overall both ends arsenal better than Filipowski. But Lively, he could be one of the 4 or 5 biggest names in the sport by the time college football fades out. And we get the granted, that's if Duke is outperforming what I thought they might be from a record standpoint. We'll wait and see on all that. Last thing for me is that the staff changeover, there's a lot of change beyond just the roster. Shire gets promoted. Chris Carwell's still there. Nolan Smith left for Louisville, so he was replaced by another coach in Kentucky at the University of Kentucky. Jay Lucas is now an assistant on staff. And then Emil Jefferson got bumped up. He got promoted. He's the third assistant. He's 29 years old. I don't know if he is the youngest Power Conference assistant coach, but he's certainly one of the 2 or 3 youngest there, but from promoting within. But the big thing is that Lucas getting the gig is the first time in, you know, 2.5-3 decades that Duke has actually brought someone on staff that wasn't a Duke man, if you will. So a lot of change in a lot of spaces there, and big new frontier, GP. Don't know. I expect Duke to be easily in the NCAA tournament. I do not expect Duke to be a number one seed or a number two seed, frankly. But I think a realistic goal for a Duke fan, and I know Duke fans, like, you know, people can't decide whether I'm in the bag for Duke or I hate Duke, which is an amazing, which just speaks to Duke. Oh, by the way, I think a reasonable target for Duke in the first season under John Shire, remember, Carolina made the title game out of the 8 line. I would say search for that 3-4-5 line, and I think you'll be doing just fine. Top 3 in the ACC. You know, if you're finishing 4th, I still think that's more than reasonable there. And what I'm excited to see is like how Shire runs the program. They are going to, you know, kind of pull back a little bit of the curtain. They are going to be doing things a little bit differently that maybe fans will notice and fans will never have an idea of, because from a media perspective, like, this was, you know, Mike Krzyzewski, because I guess he earned it, was like, he was the coach that had the biggest barricades around him. There was not good access to Mike Krzyzewski for the final 20 years of his career, essentially, and that's fine. But Shire will make himself more available, and there will be a bit more transparency with Duke, and I think that is a very good thing. I think that is helpful for Duke. I think it's actually really good for Duke. And dare I say it, some people will refuse to believe this, but if Shire winds up hitting, maybe he makes Duke into, you know, a program that isn't as hateable as it had become over the second half of Krzyzewski's career. Maybe it still will be. And that's also a good thing for the sport to have these programs that take on some level of villainy, whether wanted or not, embraced or not. We'll wait and see on that. But I am actually pretty intrigued to see where Duke goes here in this new era. And what a weird era it will be, though, JP. For me, it's still going to be a bit bizarre, because you and I both, and so many people listening to this podcast, the majority of people probably listening to this podcast, they don't know this sport without Mike Krzyzewski in it. And he's now no longer in it. And that reality doesn't really set in until we get 4, 5, 6, 10 games into Duke's season, and he's just not there. That'll be a little bit weird, but I'm excited to see it nonetheless.
One of the ways in which the program will be run differently is from a scheduling perspective. John has already made that clear. They got the home and home with Arizona.
That starts next season, which is wonderful. Love to see it. Yes.
Yeah, but like, I know John is interested in, yes, you're going to do neutral site games at the Garden and, you know, out in, you know, multi-team events in Portland. Everybody does those things. And so Duke is going to continue to do those things. But I think you're going to see John, I know he's interested in taking them on the road and like taking this big brand that he is inheriting and taking it into other people's buildings. Not every coach in America as we've learned over the past week, is comfortable doing that. But I think John Shire is going to be, and I love that because basketball games are best when they're played in true home and road environments. And I know that's one way in which John is going to be aggressive. Like, he's not going to be afraid to take his team into a non-league opposing arena. You mentioned the staff. As you were running through it, is that the youngest staff in the country?
I mean, at a power conference? Ooh, good question. Jefferson's, I mean, Carwell's got to be, I'm going to guess on Carwell at this age. I'm going to say Carwell is 45. And then Jay's like 33, I'm going to guess. I don't know if that's the youngest, but it would be near the top, without a doubt. Villanova has been young for a while and will continue to be young. They'd be one of the strongest competitors right there. Yeah. Now they lost Jay Wright. Kyle Neptune takes over. So collectively, if it's not Duke, it might be Nova.
Yeah, Shire turns 35 this month. Mm-hmm. But, you know, right now, of the, you know, the head coach and the three assistants, three of the four are 34 or younger. Like, that's not normal.
I know.
And you mentioned the other interest, like, Duke has been one of the biggest brands in the sport for a long time now. I would argue the biggest brand in the sport. And but by the time most of us who cover this sport on a daily basis, by the time most of us got into covering the sport, Mike Krzyzewski was already in another stratosphere. So we've all spent time with Mike and, you know, talked with Mike and sat with Mike in the, you know, on the grassroots circuit. But not many of us, you weren't really getting close to Mike, you know, and yet we've all known John since he was a player, if not since he was a prospect before he even got to Duke. And so that's another interesting thing about this Duke staff is you look at it and, like, we've all known John Shire, Jay Lucas, and Emile Jefferson since they were, you know, college basketball players. So to now have them, you know, together running this massive basketball brand, it's I don't know. Like, it's neat. I like it. It's a reminder that we're getting old, me older than you, but
always.
But it is forever and ever and ever. But it is it's neat. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the new era of Duke basketball. And you can tell by where I've got them ranked, fifth in the top 25 and one. I think they're going to be really strong. I guess that adds up to a 2 seed for me. So you say 3, 4, 5 seed range.
And I say down for Duke as a 4 seed in the 2023 NCAA tournament.
Yeah, put me down for a 2 seed. In the 2023 NCAA tournament. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Huck Larnell. Thank you guys once again for listening to the Ion College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts. While you're there, 5 stars, write a nice review. There's more of us than there are of them, and we will talk to you again real soon. Till then, take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.